Oh, everybody, it's Schmitty again. Guess what? I got Clyde Singleton here today. We catch up mostly because I've had him on the show before. I've been on his show, and we haven't talked for a while. Lots happening for Clyde, and I'm anxious to see what it be. All right, here he is. One and only Clyde Singleton, baby.
Hold on. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hold on. Are these headphones too big? Can you hear me well?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you absolutely fine. Let me step outside.
Bro, just wait.
Talking Schmidt.
I'm already not watching.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Damn, this is like the coolest thing I'm ever gonna do.
I wouldn't say it was fun.
What do you mean, bro? Christian Fletcher's younger brother.
Fuck the Dodgers.
Oh, big dog's in. What do you think, Dolan?
We on? Schmitty?
Talking Schmidt.
Most of these guys, their opinion don't matter.
Talking Schmidt, right?
And skateboarding.
I remember that.
Talking Schmidt.
Holy shit.
What are Yuns doing?
Okay, yeah.
I'm in your house, dude.
You're going to come out different.
Oh, no, Schmitty, you can't jump in.
What is happening?
I'm here for Greg Smith. Yay!
Gregory!
Yeah, man, chicken bone. Chicken bone, that was home.
Wi-Fi check one, Wi-Fi check two.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm fucking fabulous. My head's ringing, my body hurts, and all the bullshit that you complain about when you first wake up. But, I mean, I'm pretty stoked, actually. Things have been going pretty good.
Why did it blur you out in the background? You're all blurred out. They blurred all your logos out.
I'm getting artsy, dude. There's that new deal.
You look like you're in some portal or something, dude. I got a palm tree behind me and shit. Look at me.
I know. What city are you in? You in like Carlsbad or some shit?
I'm in Claremont, dude. I'm like right by where that crazy shooting just happened.
Oh, really?
Dude, I'm not even joking. I was going to a doctor's appointment the other day, and the cops flew by us. And I don't know why. I was just like, oh, the cops are flying by. And later that night, I looked on the news, and sure enough, there was a shooting at like a mosque or something. It was crazy. It was right at the street. It's just wild out here, dude.
Well, that's Peter Hewitt and Navarette's favorite skate park. You'll see them at least 3 times a week at that park if they're in town.
Really?
Yeah, they love that one.
I need to go stay with them dudes. Them dudes have probably got their shit together.
I don't know.
I need to go hang out with Navarette, dude. Go sit on a rug or some shit, cross-legged.
Provoking the stoke.
Yeah, man. It's been a wild trip here.
What happened? What got you out there?
All right. So about two or three days after Easter, I got my hand on some bad cocaine, and I almost, dude, this is the fucking craziest story ever.
Like with fentanyl in it or something?
I'm not sure what the fuck was in it. It's probably Clorox or something, dude. I don't even know what was in it, but I got my hand on some bad shit. I moved back to Florida early January and never really got my bearings right, like as far as like getting a job and just nothing found the place. I could find coke. I could find weed. I couldn't find a job. You know, so I became a coke dealer. It was a fairly easy transition for me. You know, I was just hand to handing shit and making some good money, but it was really sketchy. So I get my hands on one bad batch and I don't know what happened. My brain just clicked like that. And I thought people were coming after me and shit. And this chick said some crazy shit to me. I don't even know. It was something that made my brain just go into overload. So I took off skating at like 3 in the morning. No, it was like 2 in the morning. First, I called my dad. I was like, hey, dude, I need you to come pick me up and take me to fucking rehab. Like, I was freaking out, dude. I was like, the bitch like put a spell on me or something. I don't even know. I swear to God, dude. And I was like, you need to come pick me up. He's like, oh, I'll pick you up when I wake up. I'm like, fuck it, dude. So I started skating to the hospital that I was born in. By the time I got there, it was pouring raining. And I thought the hospital was closed. And I thought cops were like circling me. Dude, this is the greatest story ever. I'm thinking I'm like a smart criminal. I'm like, dude, the cops are closing in on me. So I start skating up the up ramp of 95. And skating down 95 the wrong way at like 3, it was like, look, I'm sorry, it was like 1:45, 2 in the morning, like just dodging cars, like Frogger, like in and out of traffic, in and out of traffic. And after like 10, 15 minutes, I'm like out of breath. I go downtown. I'm like, okay, go to the bus station. Get to the bus station. There's tons of cops. I freak out again. Get back on the highway. Yeah. Dude, this went on.
Paranoid. Getting in a deep sweat.
This went on for like 4 hours. I went to the skate park. I thought someone sleeping, but I thought he was dead. And so I kept skating back and forth over the St. John's River for 2 hours at least, soaking wet. And at one point I was like, you know what, dude? No one's going to kill me if I'm at a church. So I went to a church and sat on the steps and concentrated on breathing. I just told myself, like, you're not going to die. You're not going to fucking die. And how you doing, man? How you doing? So I just kept telling myself over and over, you're not going to do this. Let me switch spots really quick. There's a family here.
Blood Wizard! Tickety-tack!
Hey, it's Corey at Blue Plate, 3218 Mission Street. Come see us. Meatloaf, fried chicken, deviled eggs, Dollar Olympia beers. We're here every day of the week. We got a garden and we got smiles on our faces. Come let us make you happy.
Hey, by the way, real quick, I just want you to know that I got your Instagram up and it's just playing loop, your new video part, the birdhouse. We'll get into it later, but fucking so much inspo and props, dude. I fucking love how that unrolled and with the AI shit, Lizzie, I was just like, they nailed that one.
Dude, people are not fans of that whatsoever. But
really?
Back to that. Yeah, they, dude, I don't know if people know what the fuck they like. That's not my problem. You know, people don't like their own families. You know what I mean? And so I went and sat at the church steps for a bit. And after I was at the church steps, concentrating on breathing, I thought my fucking heart was going to come out of my chest. And long story short, I ended up going to another hospital. I thought that was closed. And I finally went to a coffee shop. Some old lady's like, hey, are you okay? And I was like, actually, no, I'm not. And she called ambulance. Ambulance came and got me. They wanted to strap me down in the seat. And I was like, absolutely not. Oh. And went to jump out of the ambulance. And a cop grabbed me. And this is the only time I remember coming to my sanity. The cop looks at my skateboard and he's like, are you too old to skateboard? And I was like, are you too old to be a cop? And everyone started laughing. And from there, I tried to go check myself in. And that's when I learned that healthcare is a joke, dude. You never know until you need it. Honestly, dude, I would have been better off taking some ayahuasca in fucking Arizona.
I tried pot.
They're not helping, dude. They put you in these places with maniacs. Like it doesn't do anything for your sobriety. It actually gives you more stress. It gives you a lot more stress and anxiety. And realistically, if you're trying to become sober, the last thing you need to be is around people that are not sober or not. That's not their mission. I'm not going to be the preachy guy like, hey, man, this is what you should do and shit like that. Like, I would highly suggest getting around some motivated people. You know, whether it be skateboarders or businessmen or something like that, you're better off doing that. You're going to learn more from them than you are from being in these situations. Dude, these situations are very stressful. They're very, very stressful. It is. And, you know, I'm going back home. That's the end all be all. Yeah, I'm heading back home, dude. Yeah, absolutely, dude. Some crazy shit's going down in these. Like, I got attacked by some fucking dude in the middle of the night. I ended up fighting him. And some other guy jumped in and I was like, hey, I've killed both of you. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like I had to defend myself. Why I have to defend myself in one of these places beyond me. I think Ryan Monahan said it best. Intelligent people shouldn't be around people like this. It's very stressful. And I'm no fucking genius, but I'm smart enough to know where I should and shouldn't be.
Is it because there's no filter like that they just put like, oh, we'll put everyone in this. And it's like, you got all sorts of people. It's like almost like a jail where it's like, this guy murdered someone and I drunk drive and I'm in the same fucking thing with a murder. Like, what the fuck, you know?
Yes. It's primarily that. I think we could all talk to a therapist. Everyone could talk to a therapist, right? That's That's neither here nor there. You know, a lot of skateboarders probably need to talk to a therapist, just on principle alone, you know, to kind of get some things straight. But I don't need to be around AA people, because it's like, that's performative bullshit at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Like, what works for me isn't going to be what I can preach to everyone else. You know, I can tell you the realities of this situation, and you can make do from there. You know, if all situations are like this, count me the fuck out, dude. The first place I went to in Jacksonville, this is so funny we're talking about this. First place I went to in Jacksonville was, it was kind of like a jail. I remember being in there for like a couple hours and looking around and was like, dude, I'm either going to join a gang or get more cocaine in here. And just darted out, dude, just jetted out. And I called Brandon. I was like, hey, man, I need your help. You know, I want to get out of here. And came out. But it's been a cool ride. It's been a really cool. I've had a great time. Like, dude, Tony Hawk's made it probably the best time out here.
I mean, I was so confused because, like, as we do, we know you through your social media. So I'm like, homie's going to Vegas with Tony Hawk. Things look okay. Like, what is he talking about? Like, he's on a private plane with Tom Shar and fucking a bunch of fucking Birdhouse dudes. Like, what?
Yeah, that's cool, man. They've been, like, super hospitable. You know, I'm in the new Birdhouse video, too.
Holy crap, I remember that.
Got a couple clips in there. I'm stoked. And
fuck yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't ask for more. You know, I'm 51, dude. I'm not I'm not 25, 26. And for them to even ask me to be a part of that is awesome. They got a great team. Everyone on the team is awesome, right?
Hell
a couple guys I don't really know like that. I don't know like Jaws or David Loy. You know, I think all those guys are great skaters too, though, by the way. And I don't know, man. Everything just worked out. Like, Tony hit me up. I think it all started when I went on his show about 3 years ago, you know, 2023. He hit me up out of nowhere and said he was a fan of the writing and wanted me to come on the podcast. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. And he thought I was in California. He's like, oh, we got to cancel. I was like, no, we don't. I got a fucking plane ticket to California so quick, dude. And he was awesome, dude. He was like super cool. Super. I remember when, dude, this is the greatest fucking story. When I first met him at the podcast, like, we walked around, it was like Mike Tyson's podcast, Up in Smoke, a couple more of those podcasts. And then they're like, yeah, we're waiting on Tony or something. He comes out and Tony gives me five and daps me up and goes, give me a hug. And dude, I put my head in his armpit like a baby. Like, I could have crawled in his arms like a child, dude. I was just like, oh my God, it's Tony Hawk. Like, but he's always been the coolest guy, man. He kept in touch like the entire time after. It wasn't like a one-off thing. He's a super cool guy. He came on my podcast not long after. And he's like, send me like Christmas fucking photos of him and the family. And just a super nice guy. He's one of the first guys I told when I got out here. And he was cool, dude. He just hits me up all the time. Hey, you all right? How things going? Like, fucking can't ask for much more than that, right? I think he's really stoked on my skateboarding from past and present, which is, I'm like, cool. You know, I think that's a pretty good mark. You know, if you X out Jim Gray, I've had a pretty fucking good career. Like, I've had Nottis, I've had Sal, I've had Tony Hawk, and that's it.
Isn't it fair to say that Jim Gray kind of made you?
Don't do that.
Clyde Singleton wrote for me. The kid's fucking lucky. I sponsored him off a Polaroid fucking photo. And he tells stories. It says I locked him in my house when he was 17 when he's visiting. I don't know what the fuck's like. I don't have locks on my doors. Like, some of these kids need to be punched in the fucking mouth. You know, it's like, that's an irritating thing to be an owner and be disrespected from the other side. Like, I took you from nothing.
Jim Gray was like the eighth best dude on Blockhead. And there were seven dudes on Blockhead. All right, let's get that out the way real quick. Jim Gray is like he was like left behind like some butt crumbs on Blockhead. And to straighten things out right there, Jim Gray was not the guy that hooked me up. It was Don Fisher that hooked me up.
Shout out.
Don Fisher hooked me up at an ASR trade show in Orlando, 89. Ooh. 89 or 90, I believe it was. Yeah, so that whole lie about some Polaroid pictures. The guy that owned a skate shop, he was a photographer as well, a really good photographer. Shot a bunch of photos, myself, Ryan Coleman, Eric Gilliard, all the kids I grew up with. And he took him to the trade show in hopes of, which is awesome, man. He took him there to get a sponsor, which is fucking great. You know what I mean? We were just kids in Florida in this little neighborhood. Like, we all wanted to be Frankie Hill, Ray Barbie, Matt Hensley, and those guys.
Yep.
This guy wanted to get us to the next level. So he took these huge 8x10 prints of us, fucking awesome photos, and a couple of them on my page. And Don Fisher liked them, and he asked me for some footage. And I don't, by the time I was able to send him footage, Gator went to prison.
Oh.
And that's where Jim Gray scooped in at and was doing Formula One wheels. And so that's how that story came. You know what I mean? And by the time we were doing that, someone had seen my footage. I can't remember who, but I'd already had an ad by 91 with when the fucking Kona contest came in town. Chris Ortiz took a photo of me and Jim. I'd never met Jim. He had already ran an ad of me. I'd never met him. Dude, he could have looked like you. I never met him. I'm not even joking. I'd never met the guy. And Mark Ablo is my team guy. And, you know, we had a great team. I just never met Jim. And, you know, I think he was just very... He's upset, man. You know, like things didn't work out like Chris Miller or none of the cool guys. You know what I'm saying? And that's just unfortunate for him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I had Omar and guys like, you know, Omar and Chet and Matt Reasons, all those guys on my team, like, I would celebrate that, not like talk shit on those guys, right? Like, you don't hear Jim Thebeau talking shit about his guys from the 90s. You don't hear Tommy talking. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't hear that kind of shit. You only hear that from kooks. That's a fact.
I mean, Costin said it a long time ago in an interview, and we already knew that, but you never say, especially publicly, that I made someone. Chet and Omar, putting them on the back of the mag, that was to advertise whatever company you were doing. Like, that wasn't to fucking give those guys a career. They're going to have a career regardless. You were... Yes. Advertising on the back page, and you've got good photos of these dudes, and everybody's helping each other. Nobody's making anyone. And
thank you
to come out later in life and just be like, I don't know, man. We're all bitter to some degree, but like, keep that shit behind closed doors. It's just the same shit when you break up with your girlfriend. You don't need to air it on social media. Like, just chill out, man. Like, we're all struggling here and we get it, but like, don't go fucking off the rails on me here.
Well, you know, the story that he's pissed about is, and ironically, and I tried to tell him is, in the night, I think it was 92 or 93 NSA finals, we all came out and we stayed at his house. And he puts us in some room and he's like, don't come out. My family's in this room, something, whatever. Me, Ricky, Oyola. Dude, it's so crazy. It's so crazy. The craziest part is we stayed in this room. We were like kids and got like put in some room. It sounds like child trafficking if you think about it. It's fucking hilarious. Mm. So he says, don't come out of this room, something, something. As stories do, it grew legs as time went on. And Chet was telling the story on my podcast. Now, mind you, Chet had already been telling the story. He had told it in Juice magazine. So I made a reference to it during the podcast. Like, oh, you mean like when Jim Gray locked us in the room? And Chet went off. Chet flew off of the rockers, dude. And so Jim goes off on the podcast 2025. Mind you, this is 32 years later. Jim loses it, like someone should punch Clyde Singleton in the face. I don't know what he said. And so I message Jim. I go, hey, dude, this is what you're talking about. Like, I played him the audio. I go, this is the audio you're talking about here. Instead of even being like, oh, you know what? I'm sorry, I'm wrong, which is impossible for him because he's a provocateur, right? That's what he does. He's tried it forever with Jeff Grosser, rest in peace. And that's what he does. Mm-hmm. Instead of being like, oh, my bad, you know, I'm wrong, my information. You know what? I never liked you anyways. Da, 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 da. I just blocked him. I was like, this guy's fucking crazy. And about a couple weeks ago, the day before Hall of Fame, I'm skating Pooch by myself. And I don't even know where this Bobby Hill-shaped motherfucker came from. He just like pulls up out of nowhere. I'm skating by myself, like just skating some ledge. And out of the 80, 90 people there, this guy comes up to me with his hand out. Like, he's like, what's up, shit talker? And I'm like, swear to God, dude. I'm like, yo. And I'm like, I'm not shaking your hand. I was like, what the fuck? Like, He's like, all you do is talk shit. Then I was like, you sound crazy right now. I was like, hey, do you want to step in the parking lot? And like, because you're trying to make a scene. I knew what he was doing. I don't want to step in the parking lot. And so I kind of flinched at him and he was like, oh, what are you going to beat me up? And I was like, dude, oh my God. So I dropped my skateboard and walked up to him nose to nose. And I go, first off, you're a fucking pussy. Second off, I told you it was Chet. And third off, I sent his glasses in orbit. That's what happened. They fucking flew off his face and that was it. You know, that was it. They fucking flew across skate park like 30 feet and he looked baffled. Like he didn't even know what to think. You know, I don't know why he would approach me. And some guys tried to break us up. I ended up almost trying to shove one of those guys and they were like friendly. I don't know what the fuck, but they didn't know what was going on. And so I walked away, went and calmed down and came back and the guys were like, man, that guy said like something about you before you even pulled into the park. Oh, there goes fucking Clyde Singleton. And so clearly he had it out for me. Well, I didn't even know this. And Sheffy comes over. He's like, hey, what happened? And I go, nothing. He tried to shake my hand and call me a like shit talker or something. And then words were exchanged and I slapped his glasses off his face. And Sheffy just dapped me up and skated away. And then this is the funny part about it. This is the funniest part about it. So I guess when Jim left, he called the Ku Klux Klan, which is his black skater friends. Yeah, you know, I don't know who these guys are. Like he called like Oscar Jordan and all. I don't know. He called like all these Clarence Thomas and skateboard. He called like Oscar Jordan and all these weird ass dudes. You know what I mean? But like I fucking care who these guys are. And they started calling the other black skaters like, oh, Clyde's making us look bad. It's like, you greasy pork chop lip bastard. Like, you guys love me. You know what I mean? You fucking love me. I did everything that Jeff Grasso was supposed to do. And you guys just want free stickers from him. That's just say that. Just say you want some free stickers from him. You know what I mean? Say you want to skate his bowl. And like, you don't hear me talking about Jim Gray. You know what I mean? This is probably the first time I've ever spoke about him like that. And I'm like. Like Ron Allen hit me up, say, hey, I don't like what he said to you. And I'm like, why are you telling me this? You know what I mean? I'm like, that's your homie. You got to check your homie. If someone said something about you and I didn't like what they said, I'd tell you what I did, not what I think, you know, like that's more powerful to me. You know, if you're my homie or you're supposed to be my homie, you'll get no points telling me what you think. And like, I like Ron, you know what I mean? But like, a lot of that just let me, it shows me how people are. You know, I ain't got no beef against Ron. I ain't got no beef. What? I don't give a fuck about Oscar Jordan. Or, you know what I'm saying? Them dudes don't even matter. But I was very disappointed. They literally don't. Like them dudes, I can't even explain. Them dudes are like the fucking Jeff Jones of street skating. Like, they don't matter. Unfortunately, that happened. I hit Willie Santos up. Was like, hey, sorry I had to, like, slap Jim Gray's glasses off his face. You know, I'm sorry that happened at your breakfast club. You know, I did feel bad about that part.
Oh, is it at the slappy thing or something?
He does that. No, he does this thing where
the
like
curb thing.
No, I don't do no damn slappies. That look like I do slappies. The fuck? I look like a slappy dude. Look at me. I'm not busting my toes.
Willie Santos is.
I'm not getting plantar fasciitis doing those slappies. How crazy. I mean, dude, the people that can do them, awesome. I can still ollie, so I like to do tricks, you know what I mean? And that, not saying that's not a trick, but I like to still, I haven't hit that mark of skateboarding yet to where I go skateboarding. Yeah. And I'm like, man, I can't really ollie. So God bless the guys that do slappies, but I can still ollie, dude. There's a couple things that just aren't in my trick vocabulary, and I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that. I might be able to do like a backside slappy, which doesn't count, right?
You got it. I think a backside slappy. I think that's the one that counts. That's
really?
It. I mean,
really?
If you do the everyone's got the fudgy nose crooked grab one. That's like,
that's not a slappy,
we're
dude.
Doing a trick. It's kind of a slappy, just but on your nose, right? It's like,
no, that's called not ollie. But.
That's, it's
a slappy is when you slap
in.
When you want, like you slam your trucks against it, both trucks. You know, you can't do a slappy 5-0. That doesn't make sense. That's like seven tricks. A slappy is like one trick, right? That's just in and out. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't do a fucking Triple Lindy Slappy. I'm not one of them.
If
I'm not Ali
Asher. You're having fun.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You're probably skating more than me. That's all that matters.
I don't know. Jim Gray wasn't doing those slappies. A lot.
Well, I haven't been skating the past couple weeks, man, which is kind of killing me, dude. Like, you know, we've been going to a lot of the classes, and a lot of the classes, like, I find myself walking out because I just don't find them fulfilling, dude. You know, like, I'm just not one of them dudes, man. You know what I mean? Like, and it doesn't make me a bad person. It makes me an honest person, right? I can't sit around and I'm like, this is bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be sitting around in some class, like everyone's talking about God and the Bible and shit. The next thing you know, the same dude's like punching me in the head in the middle of the night. It's like, this is why I don't sit around and talk about this shit with you guys. You know what I mean? Like I know it's all BS at the end of the day, and I'm not going to do that. That's I don't know, man. I have too much integrity for myself to sit around and know people are bullshitting. I'd rather go for a walk or go skating. And
you got to sweat too. Like, sweating is so key. Like, when we were locked down for COVID, I started going nuts and I was like, what the fuck's going on with me? And then my wife got a stationary bike. First day rode the bike and I sweat. And I was like, this is it. This is what we've been missing. And that's why we skate, is to exercise and get some of this shit out in a healthy way. But I do want to say real quick that I went through, you know, I used to drink a lot and I haven't drank in probably 10 years or whatever it is now.
Oh, wow.
But everybody has their path. And for me, what I would say, and I know this isn't easy, none of it's easy, but I think personally from my experience and seeing everybody else, that group therapy has never worked for me. One-on-one therapy totally works for me.
Absolutely. And
if you can isolate yourself somehow and just say, this is who I am, this is what I need, this is my path, then you can get somewhere. But if you're in a room with 40 derelicts and everyone's going fucking berserk, you're like, I can't concentrate on what I need and what I have to do. Like, you're a genius, you're an idiot, and I'm in between. Like, whatever it is, it's like, I need, like, this is hard and I need fucking help, but I need it to be what I need for help.
Yes,
I don't need a rope if I need a fucking raft, you know? Like, give me a raft. I don't need the rope. You know?
Like, exactly, dude. That's where I have been, dude. I'm just like I quit drinking. You know, I never started drinking again. You know, I'd gotten so lost in trying to maintain life the last year. I knocked off a year of my drinking. I thought I was, at one point I was like, oh, I'm at 5 years. And then when it got to 6 years, I'm like, oh, 5 years. And I'm like, dude, I'm doing way too fucking much. You know, I was stressed out trying to survive and trying to make things make sense. And I could have used a lot of therapy then. And the people I was reaching out to, like, you know, my mom was not very helpful. You know what I mean? She was being very judgmental and just out of her. She's old. You know, you got to forgive old people for being old. And she just has her own ways of thinking. But my stepfather was always there. He was always really cool. And I didn't really have a lot of friends to talk to like that. And, you know, when I came out here, you know, you can be in a very, very vulnerable situation when it comes to that. Like you got to be careful of like what kind of help you ask for too. And it's a lot of responsibility on me. You know, I wouldn't hold anyone else accountable. It was just bad decision making. I found a lot of very good friends in very low places. And I just learned a lot in the last year and a half. I've probably learned more in the last year and a half than I have 51 years living. There's a saying my grandmother used to always tell me, like, people don't want to be fixed because being broke gets you attention. And that's very true. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people don't want to be fixed. They like being broken because you're broken. You can get the attention you need. You can get the things you need. You know, you go to your friends, sell weed, and they're going to hear you out. They're fucking losers. You know what I mean? They don't work. They don't have no responsibility. So they want to.
Right.
That's not the people you want to talk to. And you learn these things as you navigate through all of this. I think it takes hitting rock bottom to realize some things. And luckily, it didn't hit rock bottom. You know, I could have ended up in jail. Right. I could have ended up in a lot of trouble. You know, I could have ended up with a DUI. I could have ended up going back to drinking. And, you know, I just think it was one last step that I was like, okay, I'm going to need some recovery space. And I don't know, you know, if they're like, well, all places are like this and things like that. And if that's the case, count me out, man. You know what I mean? Just count me out, mm-hmm. dude. Like, going back home isn't failing. You know, winners know when to quit, dude. That's the smartest thing you can do. Like, you could know when to quit and get back on the track. Like, you don't have nothing to prove to anyone. Life's a marathon, dude. It's not some quick sprint. It's not nothing to be disappointed in. It's just like, some things serve you, some things don't. And I know I'm not going to get better being around people that are not mentally okay. You know what I mean? Like, that's impossible.
100%. I was just talking, this is a full circle connection to you, because my good friend and 2007 Skater of the Year, Mr. Chris Sen, he was telling me he didn't want to do a podcast, and then all of a sudden he fucking pops up on your podcast, and I was like, what the fuck, dude? Are you serious, right? And so I love Chris. So Chris just came out to SF, and we recorded my 250th episode. I was like, dude, so psyched. And he went back to Hawaii, and he calls me up like 2 days after MJ passed. And he's like, dude, I want to re-record our interview. I think people need to know, like, that you can be successful after skateboarding, but it's hard. And like, the MJ shit just hit him real hard. And he was like, dude, I'm fucked up over it. I really think we need to, like, it's our duty to talk about these struggles. And so many people, especially in our era, that kind of had a career, that dropped out of school to have that career and to just be 100% skateboarder, found out at the tail end, like, I'm 100% skateboarding, but these people ain't 100% about me. And now I got to fucking figure out the next chapter. And that stuff is just gnarly, dude. Cause like, we're friends with a lot of the same people that have these struggles, and they're out there driving around going like, I don't even know what, like, who am I? What do I do? I was this guy. Like, Jim Gray put me on the back of magazines, dude. Like, where do I go now? You know,
like, fuck Jim Gray, dude. I mean, honestly. No,
but seriously, like, the struggle's real.
It is. And like, I think, you know, my buddy Neil Mims told me this, and a lot of people got to understand this. It's like, that is your ego. You know, your ego is not your amigo, homie. Like, that shit is not your amigo. Like, who you think you are, or what you know, it's like, who you think you are versus who you really are two completely different things. You know, who you think you are is a skateboarder, and you're defined by these tricks and this piece of wood and all these people on the internet cheering you on. That's fake, dude. That's bullshit. That's fake bullshit. You know, like, your real homies are going to be there. They're going to, and for some people, that's not enough. You know what I mean? Having a little bit of support with skateboarding is better than zero support. And some people are used to having, they're right here, like, and like, right here is not enough, you know, or like, right here isn't enough. And it's like, you should be happy with that at a later age in life. Like, you don't own anything. You know what I mean? It's like reality kicks in. Like, you don't own anything. You probably spend a majority of your life trying to impress people. To me, I just always knew who I was before I skateboarded. Another thing that I was, you know, I think that really helped me was keeping my hands in other things outside of just skateboarding, whether it be writing, you know, doing some video shit for Trans World and putting out a bit, like, cooking. Little things like that always kept me afloat. And then getting another job right when my first major sponsor was gone, right when the zoo deal was gone, I was like, shit, I got to find a job. And my first job wasn't pretty. And looking back, it's like kind of funny, but I'm glad I took that job in 2009, like selling shoes. I was selling fucking tactical boots, dude. I was tying fucking cop shoes and shit, dude. Yeah, dude. Yeah, I had to take a job. I was living in my friend's garage apartment, and my mom just wasn't going to let me live at her place. Like, that's fairyland shit. Yeah. And just things weren't going how I thought they would. But I knew I wasn't going to be in California the whole time. And I didn't have this weird cushion to fall back on, you know, and that's very important to know, man. Skateboarding is, people say skateboarding doesn't owe you anything, but those are the same people that think skateboarding owe them shit, right? Like, those are the same fucking people. Oh, skateboarding don't owe you shit. And like, the same dudes are like at the same fucking award show every fucking time. And you know what I mean? I'm like, hey, man, I'm fucking here. I'm like, don't believe that shit. Don't believe them people. Them guys are living in fucking warehouses and fucking garages and shit. Them dudes got y'all, dude, get you a job. And like, I mean, dude, look at Chet, man. Look at poor Chet. I saw a post the other day, and it was from that fucking terrible Shredder News, whatever that shit's called. And it was like, Chet Childress looking for a job, something, something. And I'm just like, okay. But like, and the funny thing is some people in there were like, quick to try to help him. Like, hey, man, come here and get a job. Come here. Dude, you know how fucking quick I would have been on top of that shit? And it's like, are you taking those kind of things serious? You know, and I don't know if Chet did or didn't, but it's like, there seemed to be more people that were there for him than what the post was intending, was to make fun of him. Like, oh, pro skater looking for job after that. And it's like, what the fuck do you expect him to do? Like, become some fucking grifter and get money from fucking Russian people to run a bullshit website? Like, what do you think? Like, there's a reason Bam Margera probably never gets fucking any rest. Like, you see him everywhere. That motherfucker's got bills to pay, dude. You know what I mean? There's a reason he's selling, like, you know what I mean? There's really he's selling, like, weird-ass Flintstone vitamins and shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, he's got bills to pay, dude. That dude is struggling out here. You know what I'm saying? He's got him, his fucking girl, some car, like, property taxes. You think that dude's just, if Bam's not just living it up, he would be chilling, right? You think he enjoys waking up every day and like one day being in Costa Rica and the next day being in Miami and like yelling at the camera with some fucking weird energy fucking Flintstone drink in his hand? No. And skateboarding is like fucking, dude, it's like anything else, dude. People don't stay in the fucking army forever. You know, some people become general, some people don't. Some people do their service and get out. You know, like the smart guys have done their service and got out. You know who you don't hear about? You don't hear Colt Cannon. You don't see Colt Cannon on the internet like, man, I wish I had a job. You don't. He's smart. He made his money. He got out. He didn't try to stretch his career and have problems that a lot of people do. Unfortunately, with Mark, rest in peace, there were some telltale signs there. I think a lot of people just weren't really, they're just not being honest about. You know, there's a lot of telltale signs that, you know, he was going through a lot, man. He was going through a lot mentally, and nothing skateboarding could have done could have, you know, that's something that's deeper than skateboarding. Skateboarding was his escapism, but that wasn't his final chapter. But to him, it was, unfortunately, you know, that's sad, man. You don't want to see that, you know, like I still want to become like, you know, I still want to become a small restaurant owner or have a little thing like, something to fall back on. You know, I don't want to be out here like, sure, like fucking 60 years old, like rapping in some little venue. I'm not doing that shit, dude. I'm not doing none of that shit, dude. I ain't like none of that shit. I swear to God, dude. You know who's not looking for a job? Lester Kasai. You know what I mean? You don't even know what he does. He's just making money, doing his thing, doing some weird backside alley somewhere. Them dudes are chilling. You know what I mean? They figured it out. Like, those are the guys who people should talk to. Those are the guys, like, look at Sheffy. Someone told me Sheffy works at Home Depot. I was like, that is fucking awesome, dude. That is awesome. You know why? Because he's got a job. He's got a job. Yeah. He skateboards. He's just, there's nothing wrong with that. You know what's something wrong with? The dude waiting on a box of Remind insoles to sell. That's something wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like I know a couple of dudes right now in their mid-30s, like, man, you know, they're like out filming more than they're trying to find a job. And it's like, dude, there's dudes that are 12 years old that are gonna, like, eating your lunch. Like, if you're 30 something trying to get sponsored, trying to get on, trying to get your internet numbers up, you're lost in the sauce. You're gonna end up an old, angry, grumpy old dude, and probably end up in one of these places I am. You know, it's best to get your shit together, have your little skate crew, and that's what I had back home, man. I had a cool little thing going. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you have to find your happiness after skateboarding. You really, really do. And skateboarding isn't the end story for everyone. It's not. It's the first chapter of a lot of people's life.
Yeah, dude. And it gets back to what you said about the ego's not your amigo, because I go to therapy every week. I have a therapist and I've been going for years, and it really helps me. And I ain't going to be the guy that says, you need a therapist. Some people do, some people don't. It helps me. And what my therapist is trying to get into this brain that doesn't really have it. I don't really have an ego as much as my wife's like, well, you got a podcast. I'm like, oh, God damn it, I can't win. But what my therapist tells me more and more about every situation I'm in, my anxiety, my depression, all the different things that I go through where I'm like, I'm not the Schmitty that I want to be. She's like, dude, you got to stop the fucking self-judgment. You got to stop looking at yourself. And I was like, you know what happened is I fell into skateboarding where everybody judges everything, including each other. And I just know what's being said out there. So I got to say it about myself and fucking try to calm those voices, you know?
We gotta stop
the self-judgment, man. Like, fuck, I moved back home because I wanted to be around people I love and in a comfortable place. It ain't a failure. It ain't all this negative press. Yeah. It ain't anything. Like, you're doing what you do, and that's it. Like, that's it.
Dude, once this is the fucking key to life. Once you figure out you're being judged by the most basic, lame-ass people on the face of the earth, everything's all right. You know what I mean? Most people out there judging you are basic and lame as fuck and want to be accepted. And like, you know what I mean? Those are the dudes probably looking at your Thrasher tee like, who's that guy wearing a Thrasher tee? You know what I mean? A lot of them dudes are stupid. They're stupid people. They don't know anything. I saw something today. This is so funny you're saying this right before I got on the phone with you. And it was, have you seen the 6-year-old kid? I think he's from Bakersfield. Little black kid. Have you seen him yet? I sent you a clip of him. He's
I don't know.
Little kid, his dad's always pushing him in the background, like, yeah, go. He's like ollieing downstairs, and he just learned kickflips the other day, right? Really rad little kid, dude. 6 years old, right? You go in the comments, everyone's like, he's pushing with his front foot, da 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 da. And I'm just like, that's the problem right there. That's the problem right there. Like, why are a bunch of grown ass men worried about a little ass kid and how they push? You know what I mean? Like, those are the same grown men that are judging you, and like, literally, it's the same people, dude. And like, look how lame that is. And so like, that's what the world is built on, is judging people. And that's what the internet's built on. You know, the internet is not the real world. You know, it's a place where you can put on a mask and be this person and this character that you want to be in real life. And you want to be seen by people and judged by people for skills and things you don't really have. You know, like, it's made up of filters and, you know, people skating, adding noise to their tricks. And it's bullshit, right? It's bullshit.
Animosity by the anonymous name. Like, it's all crap. It's like, I'm Indy 169 and I'm here to tell you this dude sucks.
dude, back in my day, no one asked you back in your day. You know what I mean? Like, there's always someone that's
you didn't even have a day. You're downstairs in your mom's basement, like, angry as fuck, dude. I don't know what happened. You didn't take the dog out, whatever. It's like, fuck.
Dude, there's like, I'm pushing these kids from Africa skating. These kids, they made their skateboards by hand, wooden trucks, wooden wheels, and it's awesome. You know, they have like these crazy metal wheels, some of them, and you know, you go in there and be like, man, all they need is a skate park now. And you're like, you guys are so lame. You know what I mean? Like, how do you know that's what'll make them happy? Like, you guys are just judging them based on what you see. That's all you need, just judging them. Like, what if they got a skate park and they don't want you guys to come to it? You know, like, you're seeing a portion of these guys. You're literally seeing 10 seconds of someone's life, and you're going to go straight into judgment on it. They're literally dead serious about this, and that's what people live for nowadays, is to be judgmental. And I mean, that goes back to the whole Jim Gray thing.
Some of these kids need to be punched in the fucking mouth.
People are just pissed. They're pissed about something, and it's not for you to figure out.
Like, I took you from nothing And I gave you stuff and gave you opportunity.
You know, it drives me crazy when people copy me. You know, I'm just like, dude, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure you guys get it too with Thrasher and everything. You're just like, dude, like, can we have something over here? Just like
this logo that just says every other word.
Dude, everyone's got a Thrasher logo. Let's be serious here. Like, yeah. Everyone's ripped off Thrasher logo. It's insane.
I gotta make one. Yeah.
Dude, you have to make one, dude. Dude, you go to you didn't go to the Hall of Fame?
I'm just gonna make this
shirt
with me, like. No, you know, I got nothing. How do you feel about that? About the Hall of Fame? I don't have anything good to say about it. It's like I'm stoked for Bryce and these guys that, like, you know, like it's the opposite of what we're talking about, right? Like, it's these people that got to a point later in their life that are being celebrated instead of negatively attacked. That's great. Yes. What I don't understand is who's doing it, who's deciding, why, any of that stuff. And then why was Josh Friedberg talking for 4 hours at his acceptance speech? Like, I think he's the reason that the whole formula got turned into, like, the music comes on and people got to get off the stage, man. But it's like a lot of dudes that you're like, fuck, who are you? And then there's a lot of dudes that you know who they are that aren't there. And you're just, I get it. We're all like, my Matt Hensley is you're not as Coppice, whatever. Yes. But like, at least those two guys need to be in the conversation.
If you have a band, it's like either you're getting an honorary Eagle Scout thing. Or, like, you start riding for Vans as, like, a Weeblow, and then you go up to Boy Scout, and then, like, you get the Eagle Scout van when you get the Hall of Fame thing. But you have to, in some way or another, like they throw some other guys in there just because it'll make the program look a certain way, right? Like you got to have the Nodisters. You got to have, like. Yeah, you got, because they don't want to hear from people, so they got to throw these guys in. But then they have, like, this guy that's done, like, 38 consecutive kick turns, and you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, who is this kick turning maniac? He's buddies with the other kick turning maniac that, like, we don't know. They've done a poor job of telling us who these people are, and, like, we're supposed to celebrate them, which is weird, right? Like at least with Thrasher, you know, with Skate of the Year per se, there's meat there.
Right.
There's something, there's meat on the bone. You're like, okay. Well, this is, you know, then it turns into, like, which one of the skaters want, you know, you don't know with Thrasher, but at least the choices make sense, right? You have Chris Jocelyn, you have fucking, what's the dude's name from fucking Creature? I think that dude should have won too. The Norwegian guy, that dude is
Kevin
fucking
Bockel.
Dude, I fucking love that dude. Yeah. Kevin Bockel is fucking sick. They need to put someone like him on DGK. Get a little, you know what I mean? Get a little oomph in that team. You know what I'm saying?
That'd be insane.
Dude, how sick would that be if they got that dude on there with a He-Man graphic? Dude, that would be so awesome. Like, everyone would be stoked. If he was on DGK with a He-Man graphic, that would be the ultimate graphic in the world. So Thrasher, like, you don't have to agree with who they pick, but at least their choices make sense, right? Like, everyone's going to have their choice. Like, I had Tom Shaw.
Bro, I need that.
Like, a lot of people had Chris Jocelyn, right? Some people had Kevin Bockel. Some people had, you know, the other dudes from fucking Creature. Everyone has their own choices, but the choices make sense. With Skateboard Hall of Fame, you're like, hold on, why are we celebrating some dude from the 70s? I'm 51. I don't know these guys. Couldn't they have, like, some side shit for these guys and, like, start getting the guys that, because this is what sucks. I think Mark is in the Hall of Fame, right? Is Mark in the Hall? Is Mark Johnson in there? I can't remember. Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, shit. I don't know.
See, and like now it's gonna
I'm look, not the index for that.
And now it's gonna look funny if he's not in there. It's gonna look funny because it's like those things aren't set up to give people their flowers while they're alive. You know what I mean? It's set up to go back and, like, celebrate these guys, and, like, we don't know who we're celebrating. But the guys that we do celebrate, they get put up there like three at a time. Like, dude, Arco should have had his own time. Julian should have had his own time. Omar should have had, you know what I mean? Like, they should all go up one by one by one. And if you take all them old ass dudes out of the equation, you have time for that, right? Like, you have nothing but time for those guys And those guys can speak on what they think of skateboarding, what they think skateboarding is, correct? Would that make sense?
It's the star mentality. It's the fanatic in us that just wants to see the best of the best. It's like the Oscars, right? I don't care about the foreign cinematographer director's brother. I just want to see Leonardo DiCaprio up there, you know? That's it. Okay, give me Leo and quit cutting off his speech. I need to know more about this dude. And skateboarding, see, the whole thing is the same thing all across the board. It's not just skateboarding, but skateboarders are the trendsetters, and we should lead by example. We don't need every year we got to have a 1964 person. Yeah. If there was only five skaters then. We're going to put all five in them? Come on, man. Like, put the best and then done. Like, we need just the best. It's like fucking Baseball Hall of Fame. You're like, what the fuck? All these fucking idiots are in there and the home run leader's not? Like, what is going on? Like, you're crazy. So I think, personally, you think of guys like Neil Blender, Mark Gonzalez, the ones that we all identify as,
yes,
these are the greatest. That's our era. We know it. So, okay, Lance Mountain can talk on his era because we all respect Lance.
Yes.
I don't really know who is behind the curtain. It's like we just went to Vegas and saw Wizard of Oz. So I'm thinking the curtain opens and there's this guy back there. And you're like, who are you? You're making all the decisions? What the hell?
I thought it was Lance Dawes. Am I wrong?
No, it can't be Dawes.
Someone told me Lance Dawes is on the committee or something that.
Maybe he is now, but definitely he wasn't. Like, I don't know what's going on now. I do think that they're trying to improve it. I think in the last 5 years, I think Rick and Buddy got in and started doing videos and making the speeches shorter. Like, I haven't been to one, so I can't really talk too much on it. But when I used to cover the combi contest every year, the Hall of Fame was in the same hotel we would stay at the same time. So Jake and I would go down and be like, and Jake would just be busting balls. It was they should have had a camera on Jake, just him talking shit about, like, when's this guy going to talk about himself again? Like, all that shit. But back then it was gnarly. And look, I don't like to bring politics and religion to anything, but when people do bring politics into religion, into their speech, you're asking for trouble. And a lot of these guys bring at least religion in. And I think, like, a quick one, like, hey, thanks to my creator, God bless, something like that.
Yeah.
Cool. But when you go on for 2 hours talking about how you need to come to my sermon and, like, blah, 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 and da, 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 and there's no other path. If you're not on this path, you're a good, like, you just canceled out more than half of anybody that's going to respect you. And my point is, your beliefs are great. Keep them to yourself. I don't need to hear who you voted for. I don't care.
Yeah.
Both guys suck. So your guy sucks, my guy sucks. Like, fuck it. Let's talk skateboarding. Because guess what? This is skateboarding. This is the Hall of Fame for skateboarding. Not politics, not religion, not fucking what'd you eat for lunch. This is skateboarding. Let's make it skateboarding. So
I love how politics has become such a thing with skateboarding. And it's like, dude, you guys don't even know what kind of
grip. It ruined everything.
Dude, like you guys don't even know what kind of grip tape you like. Like, you have no business arguing about politics. it's a pointless discussion. You know, you're not talking to people that are educated on these things. You know, you're talking to people that wanna debate. You know, and debating isn't like it used to be. Debating used to be built on facts and smart people. You know, and have debating, you know what I mean? Like it did. Like, now it's just like, it's like comment creeping. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at TalkingSchmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at TalkingSchmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout-out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout-out.
Love it!
This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.
Keep the wheels greased.